It's the Best Winter I Remember by Katie Falls, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Nikki's a light sleeper, so when his phone buzzes on his nightstand that Saturday morning, it jolts him right out of his doze. Ah, well, he'd been debating if it was time to wake up properly anyway. There's a text from his friend Niall. You up? Canals have frozen. He blinks at it a few times before tapping out a response. Okay, so? His phone vibrates aggressively with an incoming call roughly 30 seconds later. I totally forgot. This is your first winter living in Amsterdam, right? Niall says by way of greeting. You've never been ice skating on the canals. Nikki scrubs a hand across his face, trying to wake the rest of the way up. It's not quite 10 o'clock. Niall is definitely more of a morning person than he will ever be. That's a thing?
It is absolutely a thing. And you have to come with me. Last year it never got cold enough to be safe. I was so bummed. But this weekend they blocked off most of the canals in Jordan to preserve the ice, and it's going to be awesome.
They make plans to meet up around noon, which gives Nikki plenty of time to make himself presentable and start wondering where on earth he's going to acquire a pair of ice skates. He doesn't think he's ever owned any, except maybe as a kid, the handful of times he's visited an ice rink. As an adult, he just rented a pair. He shouldn't have worried. Several enterprising local vendors have set up impromptu skate shops along the frozen canals, and it's easy enough for Nikki to find a pair in his size. He meets Niall down on Kirsergracht. She's wearing a very puffy white jacket, which feels kind of like hugging a marshmallow when she throws her arms around him. You made it, she says, grinning as she pulls back. And I see you found skates. Excellent. I didn't think to ask, but you do know how, right?
It's been a while, but I think I can manage.
And he can, though he's a little rusty. Niall is obviously the more capable skater of the two of them. I used to obsess over figure skating, she admits. Made my mom sign me up for lessons and everything. I was never that good, but I have fun. She shows off a few little tricks that look very impressive to Nikki, and he tells her so. They chat for a bit as she skates backward facing him, miraculously not running into anyone in the process. It seems like half of the city has descended upon the ice, giving the canals a festival atmosphere. The air is bitingly cold, but the sun sparkles. Someone's playing classical music out of a speaker, and people are selling a variety of hot beverages from stands along the side of the canal. Andy and Quinn will meet us for lunch, Niall tells him, checking her phone. And a friend of mine from the gallery just texted me. It sounds like he's right around here somewhere. I'm going to go grab a hot chocolate and see if I can find him. That okay?
Of course, Nikki tells her. I will try to warm up a bit.
Niall dashes off toward one of the stands, moving much more quickly now that she's not keeping pace with Nikki. Meanwhile, he sets out to the middle of the canal where there's a relatively clear stretch of ice extending between bridges. He's determined to get more comfortable on his skates before any of their other friends join them. He's only ever skated on rinks before that he can remember, so the relative roughness of the ice on the canal takes some getting used to, but he settles into a steady rhythm soon enough. The exercise feels good. It's been cold the past couple of weeks, so he hasn't been out and about any more than necessary, but this is very pleasant. He should have known that confidence would be his downfall. Well, it's not entirely Nikki's fault. All sorts of different folks are out on the ice today, and not all of them are skating. There are people just wearing normal shoes, even a few on bikes, or parents pushing kids in strollers. One family has a very excited beagle scampering and sliding about them happily on its long leash, and it darts out into Nikki's path unexpectedly as he loops back toward where he left Niall. He's not moving too quickly, roughly the equivalent of a light jog, so he swerves out of the dog's way without worrying too much about it. But the abrupt veer unbalances him slightly, and he hits one of those rough patches in the ice and overcompensates trying to keep his footing. His arms windmill for a moment, and he's just about caught himself when an 8-year-old trying to set a new land speed record zips right past him, and that does it. Nikki flails gracelessly in the opposite direction out of sheer reflex,
even though the kid was in no danger of hitting him, and has a moment of perfect clarity where he knows he's about to wipe out and resigns himself to that fact. He'll survive the indignity somehow. So, of course, he crashes right into another nearby skater in the process. He doesn't quite take the other man down with him. If anything, the stranger almost manages to catch him, slowing his fall, though unable to prevent it. Nikki's knees still hit the ice hard enough that his teeth rattle, but he doesn't go sprawling. He'll take what he can get. "Are you all right?" his unexpected savior asks. His grip on Nikki's elbows is firm and reassuring, and Nikki finds himself clasping the other man's arms in return. "Yes, yes, I'm so sorry," Nikki says, looking up as the man helps pull him back up to his feet. That was a mistake, clearly, because this man is handsome enough to knock the breath out of his lungs in a way that falling on the ice somehow didn't. Warm brown eyes that crinkle kindly at the corners, dark curls escaping from his knit hat, a thick beard framing startlingly full lips. Maybe something in Nikki's brain got jostled from the fall because he can't stop staring, transfixed. "No worries," the man says, his voice light and friendly. "It happens to the best of us. Wait, hold on. Nikki? Nikki DeGeneva?" Nikki gapes at him, now unsteady on his feet for an entirely different reason. That face clicks deep in his memory. If he looks past the soft beard and just focuses on those eyes and that voice, "Joe?" The man, Joe Alcazani, if Nikki has this right, beams at him. Holy mother of God. If Nikki had thought him handsome a minute ago, he doesn't have words in any language for how beautiful that smile is. "Oh my God, it is you. It's been what? 10 years at least. What on earth are you doing in Amsterdam?" "I live here," Nikki says dimly. "I'm a journalist. I moved here for work last spring. That's right, I'd forgotten. You grew up around here, didn't you?"
"In Den Haag, actually, but I came up here shortly after uni."
"Nikki!" That's Niall skating up to join them. "You okay? Oh, hey, you found my friend Joe."
"Yes," Nikki says faintly. He realizes he's still clinging on to Joe's arms and releases him as casually as he can manage.
"Wait, Joe is a friend from your gallery?"
"Yeah, you guys know each other already."
Nikki must be imagining the way Joe's touch seems to linger down along his arms as he pulls away. Joe turns that bright smile on Niall for a moment instead, though his gaze keeps darting back to Nikki. "We went to university together in the UK. I don't think we ever had any of the same classes, but we met in the International Student Society."
"You were a couple of years ahead of me, too," Nikki points out.
They'd known each other in passing for the most part. They were in different courses and had different friends, but there had been some social overlap all the same.
"You graduated at the end of my first year, I think."
"Right, that explains it. I was trying to remember why I hadn't seen you around more often." Nikki offers him a crooked smile.
"I'm honestly surprised you remember me at all. I don't know if I would have recognized you with the beard if you hadn't said."
Joe winks. "You made an impression."
"Well, I'm sure I just made another one by nearly knocking you over onto the ice."
Nikki tries to take comfort in how steady his own voice sounds. "The trouble with running into your university crush is that it apparently regresses your emotional processes right back to being a teenager." Nikki is pretty sure he's blushing, for God's sake. He's 30 years old, and he's blushing because a cute boy remembered his name. This is appalling. He manages to tear his gaze away from Joe long enough to see Niall smirking at them both. Her cheek dimples with it.
"Guess I don't really have to introduce you guys, but yes, Nikki, this is Joe from the gallery. He created that mixed media piece with the poetry that you like so much. Joe, Nikki's a friend from my church. We met at Pride last year."
Niall had been tabling a booth for her church's youth outreach group, and Nikki, new in town and seeking community outside his co-workers, had been curious enough to ask her a few questions. His relationship with God and Christianity is complicated still, but it's nice to have found a progressive and very queer-friendly congregation when he does feel called to worship.
and Niall is probably his closest friend in Amsterdam at this point. So if she puts a little too much emphasis on the word pride, looking pointedly between him and Joe, it's a small price to pay. "It's very nice to meet you again," Joe tells him, eyes twinkling. "Clearly we have a lot to catch up on." Niall's phone chimes and she fishes it out of her pocket. "Oh, hey, and on that note, Andy and Quinn are here with another friend. They're all the way up in Brewer's Grock, though." That's about, oh, probably a little less than a kilometer away from where they're currently standing, a straight shot up the frozen canal. "You two should go on ahead and find them," Nicky tells her, glancing wryly down at himself. The knees of his jeans are visibly damp and scuffed from his tumble. And yeah, he's going to feel those bruises in the morning. "I don't want to slow you down." "Is this your first time on skates?" Joe asks. After the way Nicky crashed into him so spectacularly, Nicky couldn't blame him for wondering. "I can help if you'd like." In his peripheral vision, Nicky can see Niall open her mouth and then close it again, looking like she's stifling a laugh. He does his best to ignore her. "I would appreciate that, thank you." He's not lying about his own skating ability. He's just not bothering to correct Joe's assumption. It's totally different. "We'll catch up to you soon," Joe promises Niall, and she gives him a jaunty salute and grin before skating off ahead. They follow behind her at a more sedate pace. Joe links his arm with Nicky's and guides him through the basics. He's a natural teacher, friendly and encouraging without ever condescending. And even though Nicky already knows most of what Joe's telling him, the cadence of his voice is oddly soothing. He relaxes into it, enjoying the warmth of Joe's arm. And if he lets himself wobble more than he normally would, well, is it so terrible to give Joe an excuse to hold on to him a little tighter? As they get into a rhythm together, the conversation shifts from skating techniques to catching each other up on what they're doing and how they wound up in the same city. By the time they reconvene with Niall and the others, Nicky feels warm all over in a way that has nothing to do with the exercise. It turns out that Joe knows Andy and Quinn as well, and he's also friendly with Booker, who Nicky is now meeting for the first time. "Small world," Joe remarks, after they've all commandeered a long booth at a nearby cafe for lunch. "I can't believe we've lived in the same city with some of the same friends, but this is the first time we've run into each other." Nicky shrugs, smiling across the table at him. "It's strange how that works out sometimes." "So what was Joe like at uni?" Booker asks with a smirk. "Raising hell, I hope." Joe gives him a solid thump in the arm.
"Popular," Nicky says. "At least, that's how it seemed to me. He knew everyone, was always surrounded by friends."
"It only looked like that to you because you were new, I think," Joe remarks. To the others, he adds, "The international students had their own society. We all kind of knew each other. I was in my last year when Nicky started his first, so of course I had the advantage there."
"But everyone genuinely liked you," Nicky points out. "That still is something special."
Joe smiles crookedly.
"Not everyone. I thought you hated me for a while there, at least at first."
Nicky blinks at him, startled.
"I never did. Why?"
"Oh, Nicky," Niall slings an arm across his shoulders, hip-checking him gently in their booth. "Has anyone ever told you you have resting judgy face?"
"I do not," Nicky protests, though he can't help but laugh as everyone else does.
Quinn leans forward on her elbows, eyes gleaming.
"So, Joe, tell us, what was Nicky like as a teenager? Quiet? Shy? Creepily intense?"
Nicky makes a very rude gesture at her.
"Not at all," Joe laughs. "A little reserved, maybe, but only in comparison to the rest of us. We're all still kind of idiots at uni, right?"
This quickly devolves into everyone sharing their most ridiculous university antics, shifting attention away from Nicky or Joe, and that conversation carries the group throughout the rest of lunch.
Afterward, they head back out to the canals as a group for more skating, and Nicky finds himself falling back alone with Joe.
"I really didn't dislike you at all back then," Nicky tells him, meaning it. "If anything, I think I envied you."
"Because I was so popular," Joe teases. Nicky waves that off with a snort.
"Not that, because you always seem so confident," so comfortable in your own skin, out and proud and all that.
He shoves his hands deep in his jacket pockets, staring down at the ice beneath his skates.
I still struggled with that part of myself quite a lot then.
He hears a sharp intake of breath, and when he looks back up, there's nothing but sympathy in Joe's warm eyes.
It wasn't as easy as you think it looked, Joe says quietly. But I did wonder if you...
Well, weren't you planning on seminary after uni or something like that?
Originally, yes. I thought better of it by the time I graduated, though.
So I gathered. Joe gives him a quick smile, which Nikki can't help but return.
And you met Niall at Pride, she said.
Nikki just raises an eyebrow and Joe laughs.
Yeah, okay. Can I tell you a secret, Nikki?
What's that? Joe bumps his shoulder lightly against Nikki's, catching his arm.
I might have had a bit of a crush on you back then.
Oh, Nikki breathes. There's a chilly breeze blowing against them, and he hardly feels it at all. He tucks his arm more firmly into Joe's.
Can I tell you one in exchange?
Joe smiles with his eyes. It's so lovely.
Please do.
Nikki ducks his head in, dropping his voice to be low and intimate.
I already know how to ice skate.
Joe laughs loud and bright and wraps an arm around Nikki's waist to pull him closer still. They get drawn back into the larger group after that, and there's yet another round of introductions when Andy spots an old friend over by the mulled wine vendor. Lycan is both handsome and charming, and any other time Nikki might have angled to get to know him better, but today he's content to hang back with Niall for a bit while the others all catch up. If Niall shoots him a knowing look, he graciously ignores it.
I'm so glad we got a proper freeze this winter, Lycan enthuses. It's been getting dire. I've practically forgotten how to skate.
Global warming, yay, Andy adds dryly.
I feel like we used to get them more often when I was growing up, Joe agrees. Though maybe that's just the nostalgia talking, but I definitely remember going skating around Christmas most years.
Booker grins at him. Since when do you celebrate Christmas?
I don't. That's the whole point. It was the only way I kept track of the season.
Joe sticks his tongue out at him.
This is pretty late for a freeze, but at least it's making February worthwhile. Nothing else good ever happens in February.
Quinn hugs Andy from behind, kissing her cheek.
Oh, that's not true. Don't forget Valentine's Day.
Joe just grimaces comically and takes a sip from his steaming cup. Nikki tries not to notice the way the mulled wine stains his lips a darker shade of red.
So you're not much of a romantic then? He remarks lightly, dragging his gaze up to meet Joe's eyes.
Beside him, Niall snorts audibly.
Excuse you. I am an incurable romantic, Joe retorts, pressing his hand to his chest in mock affront. That's why I find Valentine's Day so deeply offensive. The homogenization and commercialization of affection is just awful. Where's the spontaneity? Cheap greeting cards and wilting roses are poor substitutes for actual romance.
Nikki suppresses a smile.
I'll bear that in mind.
Lycan glances between the two of them.
So how long have you guys been together?
He asks, and is affably bemused when everyone else bursts out laughing. Nikki can't even find it in himself to be embarrassed.
The cold wind picks up as the afternoon wears on, the sun vanishing behind gathering clouds, and their impromptu group disperses accordingly.
Niall has other plans for the evening, so she heads out first, giving Nikki a hug and a shit-eating grin before she goes.
Lycan convinces Andy and Quinn to try out some trendy new bar that's just opened on the other side of town.
Nikki considers the invitation briefly, but he's feeling somewhat grimy and achy from his earlier fall, and the thought of trekking halfway across the city with his new skates in tow for the sake of overpriced cocktails doesn't really appeal.
Joe and Booker are chatting enthusiastically about some sporting event or another, and for a minute he thinks they'll head out together to continue the conversation, but then Booker gives Joe a clap on the shoulder and waves goodbye to the rest of them.
How about you, Joe? Lycan asks. Want to come with?
Joe shoots a sidelong glance at Nikki.
Thanks, but not tonight. I'm good. Some other time?
Of course, Quinn says a little too sweetly.
Andy pokes her in the side and she giggles. Make good choices.
With a cheerful round of razzing, the trio head off, and then it's just Nikki and Joe.
So, Joe says, hands in pockets, standing ever so slightly closer to Nikki than would normally be socially acceptable, where are you headed?
Nikki shifts his skates from one hand to the other, far too aware of the awkward weight of them. Joe, old hand at canal skating that he is, cleverly brought a messenger bag to tote his.
I really do want to stop off at home for a bit, he admits. I could use a hot shower and a change of clothes. And I'd like to drop these off, he gestures with the skates. But if you're free this evening, I'd love to meet you for dinner, if you'd be interested.
Yes, Joe says, gratifyingly quickly. Very much so. Can I,
Okay, full disclosure. Niall may have already texted me your number because she's subtle like that, but I feel like I should ask you for it anyway.
Nikki huffs out a laugh as he checks his own mobile. Sure enough, he also has one unread message from Niall, which he shows to Joe.
I assume this is your number, then?
Joe grins, ducking his head.
Yeah, that would be it. Thanks, Niall.
She means well.
So do you want to meet back up at maybe 7? And do you have somewhere in mind? I don't want to pick a place that's too far out of your way.
I'm really not fussed, Joe assures him. How are you getting home? Do you live far from here?
Not at all. I'm about a 20-minute walk.
Nikki names his street and Joe barks out a laugh.
You're kidding. Near the park, right? My flat is only a few blocks away from there. Now I really don't know how we haven't managed to bump into each other before.
Nikki shakes his head. His cheeks are starting to ache from all the smiling, or maybe just the cold.
Well, I'm very glad I crashed into you today at any rate.
Me too, Joe says with a softer smile. He clears his throat. Since we're headed in the same direction anyway, okay if I walk you home?
Please, Nikki agrees.
His jacket is decent for the weather and he has perfectly serviceable gloves in his pockets. But if he winds up slipping his free hand into the warm pocket of Joe's woolen coat instead, well, Joe certainly doesn't seem to mind.
It feels like only an eye blink before they're standing in front of Nikki's door.
He hesitates there, not quite willing to relinquish his clasp on Joe's hand, though he knows that's silly. He's going to see him again in a matter of hours.
This is me, he says unnecessarily.
Right, Joe says. He doesn't let go either, rubbing his thumb across Nikki's knuckles. It's like there's a bubble around the two of them, gently filtering out the rest of the world, and oh, Nikki does not want to burst it just yet. Without letting himself think too hard about it, he blurts out,
You could come upstairs, if you like. I won't be long, and you're welcome to the shower, too, if you need it. Not, I just mean...
Joe's laughing a little, but there's no mocking in it, just something like wonder.
That sounds great, actually. I don't need to stop at home myself. I'd honestly just be sitting there watching the clock until it was reasonable to meet up with you again.
Nikki lets out a breath and grins at him.
Okay.
Okay, Joe echoes, grinning right back. They stand there stupidly for a few long moments just looking at each other before Nikki regains enough presence of mind to fish out his keys and lead them inside. His flat is on the small side, but it gets good light. And he's done his best to make it feel like a home. And, small blessings, he's a fairly neat person by nature, so he has no worry of embarrassing himself in front of an unplanned guest. Joe makes a beeline for his bookshelves, humming approval, and Nikki leans against the doorframe to watch him, unable to suppress a smile.
"Did I know this about you already?" he asks, probably a little too fondly for how new this thing between them is. "I can't remember what course you were in at uni."
History of art, Joe replies, though I also snuck into any literature class I could get away with.
You were...
theology?
For my sins, Nikki agrees dryly, and Joe tosses a grin over his shoulder. If nothing else, it taught me how to construct a well-reasoned argument, though I don't think my professors were fond of the positions I took.
Joe laughs, turning away from the books to look at him properly. That must come in handy in journalism.
You have no idea. Did you want the shower?
It's not a bad thought, Joe admits, running a hand over his hair with a grimace. The knit hat certainly left it. Nicely tousled, Nikki will say, if pressed. But you should go ahead first. It's your shower. And you're my guest, Nikki counters. Please, I insist. He keeps spare towels in a closet and passes the nicest one he can find over to Joe, who thanks him, and then Nikki retreats to his bedroom to pick out a change of clothes while doing his very best to ignore the fact that the most beautiful man he knows is currently naked in his shower on the other side of that wall. It's an uphill battle. Joe keeps it quick, emerging from the bathroom a few minutes later, already redressed in his jeans and t-shirt, his soft-looking sweater tucked under one arm, a few stray curls twining in damp ringlets across his forehead. One droplet of water trickles down his neck. Nikki has to suppress a very strong urge to lick it. "Thanks, I appreciate it," Joe tells him earnestly. "Bathroom's all yours." Nikki nods, swallowing hard. "Right, okay. I'll just be a minute." Joe waves that off with a wink. "No rush. I'm happy to spend some quality time with your books. Should I be jealous?" All the same, Nikki hurries through his own shower. The hot water feels amazing after his long cold afternoon on the ice, but he doesn't allow himself to linger, not with Joe right there in his living room, waiting for him. "So they can go to dinner," Nikki reminds himself firmly, thinking very innocent and not at all inappropriate thoughts. Of course, in his haste, he'd forgotten to bring his change of clothes into the bathroom with him and rubs a towel through his hair while debating whether to put his less than fresh clothing back on just for the trip down the hall to his bedroom. In the end, he decides against it, just ties his towel very securely around his waist and bundles the clothes up into a tight ball in preparation for the dash. It's no good. His flat is very small, and there's a direct line of sight from the couch to the short hall between bedroom and bathroom. Joe looks up from the book on his lap at the sound of the door opening, and his eyes lock in on Nikki immediately. Nikki bids a fond farewell to his dignity and leans into it, giving Joe a quick, wry smile as he ducks into his bedroom. The clean clothing helps. Feeling more himself again, he makes his way back out into the living room. There's still a book open on Joe's lap, but he's clearly not paying it any attention, his gaze distant. When Nikki takes a seat next to him on the couch, Joe blinks and looks up at him, eyes wide. "So," Nikki says, aiming for casual, "what are you thinking for dinner?" This close, he's suddenly very aware of the scent of his own body wash on Joe's skin. It's incredibly distracting. He bites his lip and tries to keep his focus on Joe's face instead. "Hmm?" Joe murmurs, staring at his mouth, then blinks a few times with a self-deprecating chuckle, shaking his head slightly. "Dinner, right, sorry. I'm pretty sure I've just forgotten the names of every restaurant I've ever eaten at." It's not quite an invitation, but it's not either. Nikki could not care less about what they do for dinner at this point. "Yeah," he says, inching closer. "Me too. Joe?" "Please," Joe breathes, setting his book firmly aside, and yeah, they're definitely on the same page. Nikki leans in and savors it for a moment, the feel of Joe's breath against his lips, knowing that they're standing at this precipice together, eager to fall, or possibly take flight. It feels very much the same. When Joe kisses him, Nikki sinks into it, singularly focused on the warmth of Joe's mouth, the softness of his lips, the taste of his tongue. A shiver trips up and down Nikki's spine, and Joe must feel it, because he wraps his arms around Nikki's shoulders and pulls him close, chest to chest, kissing him with what feels like his whole body. Time turns molten between them, minutes slipping and sliding past, unheeded. Nikki kisses him, slow and deep, surrounding himself with Joe's scent and touch, and God, his mouth. There are no words in any of those books for how much Nikki loves Joe's mouth. He remembers being 19 and yearning, staring at those plush lips bitten pink, utterly untouchable, the dimples in Joe's cheeks when he smiled, hidden now beneath that thick, dark beard, but Nikki knows they must still be there. He catches Joe's face against his palm, runs his fingers through the softness of his beard, brushes his thumb against the impressions of that dimple. Joe is smiling into the kiss. Nikki never thought he could have this.
I'm so glad you're real.
Joe sighs against his lips between kisses. His hand presses low against the small of Nikki's back, thumbing the skin beneath the hem of his shirt.
I'm so glad I found you again.
Nikki chuckles and nips at his lower lip teasingly.
What are you waiting?
Joe hums thoughtfully, kissing his way outward to the hinge of Nikki's jaw.
No, of course not, but at the same time,
maybe.
I just didn't know it yet.
The breath catches in Nikki's throat. He turns his head to press his face against Joe's neck for a moment, breathing him in, then surges forward to kiss him properly again. It's so easy to lose himself in this, in Joe. The world around them goes quiet and hazy for a while. Nikki can't stop touching him, running his hands across Joe's shoulders and down the curve of his back, his trim waist, his firm chest. There's something so grounding and real about the solid shape of him, and Nikki aches to settle himself between those thighs. His own skin feels like it might burn through the fabric of his clothing, though neither of them move to take that next logical step. Even the slightly awkward moments are wonderful, like when Nikki shifts to straddle Joe's lap and is forcibly reminded of his own bruised knees, hissing and sitting back on the cushions with a sheepish apology. Joe just hums in sympathy, stroking soothingly up and down his sides, then adjusts them both so that he's half on top of Nikki instead, one knee planted between Nikki's thighs. He cups the back of Nikki's neck and kisses him so thoroughly that Nikki forgets anything could possibly be nicer than this. He's still a little dazed when Joe pulls back, instinctively chasing after his lips, and Joe's chuckle is a low rumble against Nikki's chest. Nikki blinks up at him and smiles.
Hey.
Hey, Joe replies, so fondly, his fingers tracing a delicious line down Nikki's neck.
This okay?
Nikki's grasping onto his waist, his thumbs rubbing slow circles up under the hem of Joe's t-shirt, along the waistband of his jeans. His hips are starting to roll up against Joe's almost unconsciously.
So okay, he says, taking a few deep, calming breaths. You feel so, yeah.
Joe's voice has gone low and hoarse in a way that makes Nikki want to drag him even closer.
God, he's so fucking hot. Nikki, you don't even know. I didn't even know. When I woke up this morning, this is all so...
There's a sudden desperation there that makes Nikki still, reaching up to catch Joe's cheek.
There's no rush, Joe.
He draws Joe down into another kiss, keeping it simple and sure.
I'm not going anywhere.
Joe lets out a shaky breath against his lips.
Yeah.
They hold each other there for long minutes, exchanging slower, softer kisses, the wild heat between them shifting into a steady warmth, like glowing embers just on the edge of sparking back into a full flame. Either of them could guide it back in that direction so easily, but it also feels marvelous to breathe into each other like this, stretching the moment out. Nikki could happily live in this space between heartbeats forever, surrounded by Joe, grounded by him.
I did promise to take you out to dinner, he murmurs,
his lips brushing Joe's earlobe. Joe shudders delightfully against him.
Do you still want...
Joe hums and trails kisses down along his jaw toward a particularly sensitive spot lower down on his neck.
Dinner, yes, it's probably a good idea.
He sucks lightly there for a moment, and Nikki can feel Joe's smile against his skin when he has to swallow back a moan.
How about we order takeaway and then pick this back up where we left off?
Nikki can't help but rock up against him just for a moment.
I like how you think.
There's a really good curry place just down the block. They don't do delivery, but Joe agrees it's worth nipping out for a minute to pick it up. After calling in the order, they do lose a few minutes kissing lazily in the front hall, coats halfway on. Nikki has never been so easily distracted before in his life, but Joe is right there, and how could he not? Through an extended process of trial and error, they managed to navigate their way out the door and down the narrow stairs. The cold air outside feels like a slap in the face. The temperature has definitely dropped in the past hour or so, but frankly, Nikki could stand to cool down a bit if he wants to make it through dinner. Then Joe glances up at the sky and an almost childish glee spreads across his face. Nikki, look, it's snowing. And it is. Nikki tries to remember if this is the first snowfall of the winter. It's a bit late in the season, if so, but maybe. No, wait. Hadn't there been a storm at some point in December? It doesn't matter. Thick flakes are falling, already beginning to coat the sidewalk. Joe beams at him, his smile bright enough to light the whole street, and oh, now that Nikki has found him, he's absolutely never letting him go again. He doesn't know what his own face must look like right now, but whatever Joe sees there makes his smile soften, small and warm and intimate. He steps in closer and reaches up to run his hand through Nikki's hair.
You have snow in your hair, like a secret.
So do you, Nikki breathes, and here. He reaches out to brush his thumb against Joe's cheekbone where a single small clump of snow has landed. Then he presses his lips to the same spot, lingering there. Joe's hands slip down to Nikki's waist, holding him in place.
I should probably warn you. Before we take this any further, he says, rubbing his nose against Nikki's. I've never been very good at casual.
Nikki kisses his other cheek, then on the corner of his mouth.
Neither have I. I've been told I can be. How did Quinn phrase it? Creepily intense?
Joe huffs out a laugh, pressing their foreheads together. I've been told I want too much too soon.
I have resting judgy face.
Your face is wonderful. Don't listen to them, Nikki. Nikki kisses him warmly enough to melt all the snow that's still falling around them.
I'm not scared if you're not.
I'll hold you to that, Joe whispers. They do pick up their dinner eventually. It's the best meal Nikki's ever had. He won't remember a single thing about the food afterward, but the night ends with Joe stretched warm and wanting beneath him, and they never really do manage to disentangle themselves from there.
The end.